When you think of the things people like to do in the summer, go camping or fishing, rafting or swimming, giving blood is just not a natural part of that list for most people. And that's just the issue. Even people who do give blood on a regular basis are known to miss a chance to donate during the summer months, and that's when blood banks put out reminders that supplies are lagging a bit. This summer has been no different. Let's talk about the situation in the Northwest. Jared Schultzman is communications manager for the American Red Cross Pacific Northwest Blood Service Region and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Jared, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So if, as has been demonstrated many, many years now, summer does seem to be a downtime for donations, is there a time of year that's best for donations?
Well, you're absolutely right. The summer months are traditionally the toughest months of the year. We do also see a dip in donations around the holidays in the winter, really from Thanksgiving to the Christmas holiday. We'll also see a slight decrease in donations. The best part or the best times of year for donations we find are really the months of the year. And most of that is because we can hold our high school and college blood drives. We collect about 20% of the blood that we need each year from those school blood drives, which is one of the reasons why we see such an impact during the summer when we aren't able to hold those blood drives on a regular basis.
Well, that's an impressive number, though, 20% from high school and college students.
Yes.
And go ahead.
The school drives are also one of the best ways to get young people involved in blood donation. It's often their first exposure to the concept of donating blood and helping others. And we see a lot of those younger kids kind of move on, you know, when they donate in high school and when they're exposed, they move on to become regular blood donors later in life.
So can we assume that the drop in donors is 20% or probably more in the summertime once the school drives are over with?
Well, I can tell you that this year in particular was tough. Really from somewhere around the 1st of May for the 11 weeks following that, we saw about an 8% decrease in donations, which resulted in about 80,000 fewer donations nationwide. That's really when we went out and set out an urgent call to our blood donors to ask them to come out and donate blood. And we did see a response. Within maybe the first week after that, we saw an increase of about 7%, which was roughly about 12,000 more donations than expected in that week. Unfortunately, the need is constant, and we still need donors to come out and give blood.
All right, so people do get used to hearing about the summertime decline, but they also respond as well when you put out the call for blood.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, really our regular blood donors are really kind of the backbone of the community blood supply, which is another reason why summer can be a challenge, because that's the time of year, I think you just mentioned, when people are on vacation or otherwise preoccupied with, you know, summertime activities. It's not really a high priority. It's not something that people have in the front of their mind. So sending out those reminders is always helpful.
So, Jared Schultzman, when supplies are low, do medical providers have to change what they do in any way? Does it ever get that serious?
Well, what we were doing this summer, what we sent out was the urgent call was really to avoid a shortage. We didn't actually have a shortage. What we wanted to do was be proactive and avoid that shortage. A shortage is really a situation in which we aren't able to meet the blood product needs of our hospitals, and we never reached that point this year.
That is good to know. Jared Schultzman, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, communications manager for the American Red Cross Pacific Northwest Blood Service Region. We're talking about blood supplies in the summer, which, as we've heard, do tend to dip just a bit. And you just heard why, because a lot of school drives just don't happen during the summer. Join us on the exchange with your comments, questions, perspective, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. It seems like when you are making the appeals for blood, you say specifically that you seem to need a lot more Rh-negative blood. Can you give us a quick lesson and why?
Absolutely. I personally never like to say one blood type is more important than another, because we really need all blood types when we talk about having a healthy, adequate blood supply. But it is true that some of the blood types that are in more demand are the Rh-negative blood types. That's O-negative, A negative, B negative, AB negative. The reason for that is those blood types can be transfused to multiple patients. So somebody or an A negative donation can be transfused to somebody who's A negative or A positive or AB negative or AB positive. So there's a little more versatility of use with those blood types. However, as I just mentioned, you know, we really need all blood types and donors of all blood types to come out to help ensure that we have enough blood for everyone.
And so O negative, again, can give to anybody.
Yeah, O negative is referred to as the universal donor type. It can go to anybody, and it's really the blood type that's used in the cases of extreme emergency. If somebody's injured or needs blood very quickly when they arrive at a hospital and there's not time to type that patient to figure out what blood type they are, it's the O negative blood that they'll begin transfusing and using right away.
All right, so O positive, almost as flexible, but can only give to people with Rh factor positive.
Yep, all donors that are Rh factor positive.
Mm-hmm. We have a call here from Caleb in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking blood donations with Jared Schultzman from the American Red Cross.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. What's up?
Well, I just hopped in the car and had JPR tuned on the radio, and the first thing I heard from your guest today was how in high school those blood drives have shown to create donors for a lifetime. And I grew up in the Rogue Valley. My wife and I went to Phoenix High School and then later Grants Pass High School. And both schools did blood drives. And then I continued through my 20s, and now I'm in my 30s, and I still give blood. I just gave blood last week. So thought that I just felt like, hey, I've never called into JPR. I should call in and let folks know that is definitely true. We were influenced early on from high school to build a habit to do it the rest of our lives, so I thought I'd offer that information up.
And so, Caleb, when you first gave, how daunting was it for you, or was it at all?
No, I remember in high school anyway as a freshman that it was kind of a cool thing to do. Everybody went and gave blood. So, some people probably have a fear. Some younger people might have a fear of needles. I certainly didn't. And I don't know if it was because we got out of class to go do it or what it was, but everybody was doing it. So it was kind of like, hey, let's go give blood. And it wasn't anything that was too overly scary. Yeah.
And have you given consistently since that first donation in high school?
I gave consistently in my 20s, and toward the end of my 20s, got married and had kids, and things got busy. But the last few years, now in my early 30s, so maybe a couple of years of a break in there, but my employer at the time actually did a blood drive, which got me back into the habit after a few years off, and then I've been giving consistently since then.
All right, cool story. Thanks for sharing that, Caleb. Good to hear from you here on the Jefferson Exchange. And Jared, this is this backs up what you were saying earlier, that if people start donating fairly young, they get used to the process.
Exactly. And you know what? He mentioned it or brought something up that kind of brings up another good point in that, you know, the Pacific Northwest Blood Services region, we collect blood throughout Oregon and Washington State. We only have 9 fixed-site donation centers in all of that area. What we really need support from and who we get support from are community blood drive sponsors. And what they do is they enable us to go into communities where we don't have a center, and we're able to make it a little bit more convenient for donors who are kind of often in faraway areas to actually come out and donate. You know, somebody who's 40 or 50 miles away from a Red Cross blood center, they're not going to make it out there to donate, you know, maybe once a year, but it's not going to be something that's regular. When we have blood drive sponsors in the communities like churches, local businesses, civic groups, they step up. They allow us to come in to their location, set up a blood drive or drive our bus out there. They recruit the donors themselves, and basically they're giving people another opportunity to give maybe to something a little bit more convenient to their location.
Jared, we had a caller drop off a call wanting to know about the economics of blood donations through the American Red Cross, because you're not paying your donors, but do you then sell it? I mean, how does this all work?
Well, basically, any blood that's collected and used for transfusion to other humans has to be donated on a volunteer basis. One of the reasons for that is it helps to ensure the safety of the blood supply. If you're offering high incentive for somebody to come in and donate blood, they may be less than honest during the screening, and that could potentially put the safety of the blood supply at risk. Now, what we do is once we have the blood, it's given to the hospitals, and the Red Cross is reimbursed for the the fees that are associated with collecting the blood. There are a lot of fees associated. First of all, we have to pay our staff. We have to collect the blood. We have to manufacture the blood into blood products like red blood cells, platelets, plasma. We have to store the blood. We have to test the blood, and we have to distribute the blood. That's a lot of cost to incur. We are a nonprofit organization, and the cost recovery that we get from the hospitals helps to cover the costs associated with the collection and distribution of that blood.
Jared, I was reading that some surgeries that once required additional amounts of blood now seem to require less. Is that factoring into some of what goes on with blood donations at the Red Cross?
We are seeing a slight decrease in the use of blood. Blood management is becoming more prominent in the medical field. However, there's still definitely a constant need for blood.
One of the issues is that blood does not have much of a shelf life, correct?
Correct. Well, red blood cells in particular have a shelf life of about 42 days. Platelets, which are used a lot with cancer patients and people undergoing chemotherapy, those are only good for 5 days. And you have to figure that 2 of those days are spent testing that unit. So really it's a 3-day shelf life. Unfortunately, platelets are in such high demand that they're basically distributed to hospitals almost as soon as they're ready to go. So that's really one of the reasons why the blood supply needs to be constantly replenished.
All right, we have a listener who emailed in, wants to stay anonymous, has been denied for donating blood because this person's mother died of CJD, which I assume is Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Is it true? I mean, can that person ever donate blood?
That particular deferral, I'm not 100% sure on what the time period is. We do have, it's just a large number of eligibility requirements to donate blood. We have the basic ones are that somebody needs to be 17 years or older, weigh 110 pounds, at least 110 pounds, and be in generally good health to donate blood. However, there's a number of medical deferrals, travel deferrals, far too many to name on the phone right now.
Right. It's a long list. I've been through the assessment quite a few times myself, and you answer a bunch of questions, but you get used to them after a while. I'll point that out, too. Let's take a call. Here's Susan in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking blood with Jared Schultzman at the Red Cross.
Did you say Susan?
I did.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. This is a very timely topic for me because for many years I donated blood through work and enjoyed doing that. And now, in my late 60s and early 70s, I have a very rare blood disorder, and I am getting monthly donations back. And I am just so grateful. I feel like it was the thing to do at the time, and once this disease was diagnosed, I felt really badly that I could no longer donate. And now I'm at the point in, it's a progressive disease, and it's very rare, and now I'm at the point where I am getting, in fact, I'm going tomorrow morning to get another donation. So I just want to say how important it really is and how much I appreciate people who do that.
All right, Susan, thanks for that very much. And Jared, you couldn't have asked for a better testimonial, could you?
No, and sometimes the inverse is true as well. Sometimes there's people who blood or donating blood never crosses their mind until someone in their family needs it. And then instantly it's like a light switch going off. And we'll see the family kind of rally around the person who's ill, sponsor blood drives themselves, try to help replenish the blood that person's used. It's really something that once you kind of see, because, you know, blood donation, it's a little bit of an abstract concept. You come in, you know that the blood you're giving is going to be used to help somebody in need, but you don't ever get to see that person. So once you do get to see the results, it's definitely kind of an eye-opening experience.
All right. And where should people go if they do want to donate blood?
Well, the best thing to do is probably either call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org. From there, you can search for blood donation opportunities in your area by using your zip code. We do have 3 centers in kind of southwest Oregon. We have one in Roseburg, one in Medford, and one in Klamath Falls. But again, we hold blood drives throughout communities in Oregon. It's really just a matter of kind of tracking one down. And again, the best ways to do that are to either call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org.
All right. Jared Schultzman, Communications Manager for the American Red Cross Pacific Northwest Blood Services Region. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk.